So good morning, and if you can open up God's Word to Proverbs, if you've got a sheet with you, you should have been given a sheet as you came in. It's got the reading on that because we're looking throughout Proverbs. If you need a sheet, Tim's got some. So just put up your hand and Tim can give a sheet to you. So it's got the points in there, and on the reverse it's got the reading as well. So we're looking at Proverbs, obviously, in our series, and today we're looking at, in our kind of alphabetical series, we're looking at illness today. And I've been surprised in planning this, just how much, it speaks about illness in general, but particularly it speaks about illness in mental health and anxiety and depression. So we're going to be focusing a lot on that today as well, and as you'll perhaps pick up from these readings, that actually Proverbs has a great deal to say about mental health and things like that. So let's start first with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. This isn't all the verses. I've kind of done a summary there. We'll look at all the verses in a few minutes. But it says, at the end of your life you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline. And towards verse 14 it says, and I was soon in serious trouble. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and rejoicing may end in grief. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And lastly, the human spirit can endure times of illness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Amen. So let's pray as we go on to look at some of these proverbs now. Lord, we do thank you for the great words you've just sung. Lord, we thank you for the great words of comfort as well. And Lord, we do pray that during this time now, that whatever we're going through during this time, Lord, just if we've been struck down with illness, a long-term illness, whether we are in that darkness of depression at the moment, Lord, we pray that you would comfort us, that you would abide with us, that when other comforts fail, when other helpers flee, Lord, we pray that you would abide with us. And Lord, we thank you that none of what we go through takes you by surprise. Lord, we thank you again as we sung that all our ways are known to you. And Lord, we pray that there's even a comfort in that, that you're not far away, in a distant stranger, in our grief, in our suffering, but you draw close to us. Lord, we pray that we'll very much know this morning, as I say here regularly, that in all our pleasures, Jesus is better. In all our suffering, Christ is enough. We pray that we'll know that this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure we know that, all of us, that actually there are moments in our life when the world changes for us. Family members taken from us, a job that promised so much security perhaps slips away, a relationship that brought so much joy is ended, and there are certain moments in life that just seem so life-altering, life-defining, and we remember where we were, and we remember when we got that news. That just seemed to change everything. This week was the 18th anniversary, I couldn't believe it, the 18th anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks in the US. And I'm sure many of us remember where we were, what we were doing when we found out that awful news. That day changed the world for so many people. And I'm sure for us, there are those moments, whether in the doctor's surgery, in hospital, our homes, where life just changed, life completely altered. And there are those moments that we remember just as vividly as yesterday. Those moments that where suddenly everything just became different. Some of those moments, praise God, they can be good moments. But I'm sure many of those moments are sad moments or bad moments. And today, as we mentioned, we're looking at Proverbs on the subject of illness and health. And of course, this affects every single one of us here. And throughout Proverbs, we've seen, throughout this whole series, we've seen it, Proverbs gives us like a formula to live by, that if we do this, this is the result, this will happen. If we, for example, if we fear the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom. And on this area of wisdom and of illness, one of the first Proverbs we get to regarding wisdom and fearing the Lord and illness is Proverbs 3 verses 7 and 8. It starts with, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." So there's that great theme there of fearing the Lord. And that will bring health to your body, nourishment to your bones. Fearing the Lord will bring health to your body. What a great promise that is. But does that promise too much? That when we're horribly ill, when we're not in great health, is that because we haven't been fearing the Lord as we should be? Well, no, it doesn't mean that. We shouldn't take that proverb in isolation. Proverbs in general doesn't hide from the fact that mental illness, that illness in general, physical illness, are real struggles, and they happen to the godly and the godless. That in a fallen world, sinful world, there are struggles, there are difficulties, there are illnesses. And we see this happening in the other wisdom books of Job and Ecclesiastes. In Job we see a man who feared God. We're told he was a righteous, blameless man. Yet there were real struggles in his life. So are we saying that Proverbs 3 verses 7 and 8 is not true? Actually, it does promise too much. That actually, if we do fear the Lord, it's not really going to bring health to your body. It's not really going to bring nourishment to your bones. Are we suggesting here that God breaks his promises? Of course not. So you may remember a few weeks back, we looked at chapter 3 of Proverbs, and we asked the question, does Proverbs promise too much? You can listen to that online, but just to briefly mention that, you know, when we do read Proverbs 3, 7 to 8 there, fearing the Lord will bring health to your bodies, nourishment to your bones. What do we do when this promises so much, but we do experience it so little? This is far from offering us too much, but the reason why we might not experience all these promises in the here and now is because they're kept in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1 verse 4, "You have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." One day we will have a new body, free from illness, full of health. God always keeps his promises. We may not see the fulfillment of all these promises in the here and now, but they are promises. They are promises that amazingly will outlast death. So please don't come away from this time. The last thing I want you to do is come away from this time thinking, "Oh, I'm ill because I haven't feared the Lord enough. I'm struggling with my depression because I haven't trusted Christ enough." That's not what we're saying now. Proverbs doesn't hide from the fact that illness and mental health struggles are real, as we'll see. But Proverbs does give us wisdom about how we can approach illness, how we can speak to others who are struggling with ill health. So that's what we're looking at now. So the three headings we've got this morning, the first two we're kind of just generally talking about illness in our bodies, illness in our mental health. But the last point we'll be looking at, actually, despite all that, we do have reasons to be cheerful and joyful. So firstly, first heading is illness of body. So looking at about physical health. And throughout preparing this, other than the commentaries that I looked at, one book that I found extremely helpful was this book. I don't want to outdo what Tim said earlier about selling books, but Invest Your Suffering by Paul Mallard. I have checked, it's on the stool as well. So praise God for that. So if anything that I say from this book this morning, it's helpful, it's on the stall. I don't know the price of it, but I'm sure Tim, he doesn't know off the top of his head. We'll find out later. But it's a great book, so look that out for that afterwards on the stall. But Paul Mallard, the author, he talks about the long-term illness of his wife, and he struggles to see what this illness is doing to her, the agony that she's in. But it also talks about what they've both learned through it, that they've met a God who's not faithless, but faithful. And what's clear in his book, he says that our attitude to pain and suffering, that attitude can either make us better, more Christ-like, as he means, it can either make us better or it can make us bitter. It's obvious that bad things will happen to us. And often it's how we respond that is key. Proverbs helps us, therefore, know how to respond, how to speak, how to think. Proverbs suggests we can either, in a sense, choose to be overwhelmed by despair and let it affect our outlook in life, or in a sense we can embrace that pain and still cry out, despite this pain, I will trust God. However, there's one proverb. Proverbs does suggest, actually, that there is some pain, there is some suffering, there is some illness, which is our own fault. There is illness and sickness of our own making in that sense. So there is a sub-point, consequences of sin. That there are illnesses which are a direct result to certain sins. There are, in a sense, some people who face a sad end because of past behaviour. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 11 and 14, and these are all the verses of 11 and 14 here. At the end of your life you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors. I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. What we're talking about here, sadly, is when the sinner becomes the sufferer. Sometimes we're suffering bad health because of the consequences of bad decisions. And the verses here predict the person who hasn't listened to wisdom's call, who hasn't listened to wise instruction, may well end up living with the consequences. It looks at this sad end when a person's body, in a sense, just gives up because of past behaviour. Now, of course, biblically speaking, there is a huge connection between sin and suffering. Suffering entered the world because of Adam's sin. We've already mentioned suffering can be a direct result because of wrong decisions. For instance, if there's long-term alcohol abuse, it might result in various health problems. Sexually transmitted diseases, most of the time, would be a direct result of wrong and bad decisions. If we refuse to listen to warnings and advice on smoking or drug abuse, it may end up with awful health implications. So yes, there are consequences in ill health because of a direct result of sin, the folly of not listening to wise advice. So that's the consequences of sin. But the other sub-point is that much of ill health, the majority of ill health that we go through, is actually just the consequences of the fall. So B, consequences of the fall. We mentioned that link between sin and suffering. Suffering entered the world when Adam sinned. And as a result, we live in a world with thorns and thistles. We live in a world of disease and illness. These things perhaps aren't a direct result to our own personal sin, but it is a result of being in a world of sin. Being in a world that has fallen. All of us perhaps know what it's like to be ill. We have coughs and colds, or bug that is, you know, very temporary. But sometimes we know illness is severe. It can take months. It can take years of fighting, months or years of treatments, months and years of emotional energy just consumed. And we may have met those people who are ill, and we just stand amazed at them. They just keep on fighting. They stay positive. They don't seem to complain about what they're going through. And we wonder where they get their resolve from. That they have that strength despite this overwhelming physical pain and physical suffering and sickness. But Proverbs 18:14, it says about what happens when that fighting spirit goes in that sense. The human spirit can endure times of illness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? You know, about this fighting and this enduring these times of illness. But one of the worst things that can happen in long-term health is to keep that resolve, to keep up that fight. The next line in the verse tells us what happens to the person who loses that fight, who loses that resolve. It describes someone in a sense who's come to an end of themselves, a crushed spirit who can bear. That at that moment there's no mental, there's no emotional, not even spiritual reserves to draw upon at that point. So what do we do then? What do we do then? Remember what Paul Mallard's saying in his book as well, that our attitude to pain, our attitude to suffering can make us better or it can make us bitter. Jim Elliot, a missionary who died a martyr's death on the beaches of South America, his wife said shortly after his death, Elizabeth Elliot, she said, "I'm not a theologian or scholar, but I'm very aware that pain is necessary to us all. In my own life, I think I can honestly say that out of the deepest pain has come the strongest conviction of the presence of God and the love of God." Perhaps you know that to be true of yourself. That actually there are many older, godly people that we have met, that we've spoken to, and they've gone through those times of ill health, that pain, that suffering. Of course, it's not been easy for them. They don't look forward to the pain and suffering, and they haven't understood absolutely everything that God has been doing during that pain and suffering. But those times haven't been wasted either. Those times that they've gone through have not been wasted. And on that, Paul Mallard writes about not wasting that pain and suffering. He writes about having to stand there and look in pain while his wife's in agony. And he says, "To be honest, during the last 20 years, there have been times when my faith has seemed frail and fragile and almost ready to collapse. I have struggled with seeing my wife stripped of her dignity and reduced by her agony. I've doubted all kinds of things. I've got angry, I've exploded and lashed out. I do not like what's happening to my sweetheart one little bit. Chronic illness can never goes away. Sometimes I find myself asking, come on, how much more can we take? One thing I have never doubted is that in the darkest circumstances, we are only ever in the hands of God. That has been the ultimate source of comfort and hope." Again, maybe that's your experience. And even if you're struggling today, we need to learn that we don't need to understand everything that God is doing. But he is still a God who's worthy of our trust. He's still a God worthy of our trust. I can't remember where I read it now, but I read recently that in life, when you can't see the hand of God, when you can't see what God is doing, when you can't see the hand of God, trust the heart of God. He's still worthy of our trust. And that's briefly just about our illness in our bodies. But a lot of Proverbs speak about, in a sense, illness in our minds. There's a great deal of teaching of illness in our minds in Proverbs, about mental health. It's been really interesting, as we enter the second point, looking at this subject of illness and health in Proverbs, that even in this ancient book, there's a good deal of understanding of illness in general, but there's a great deal of understanding of mental health. A lot of what we read actually could have come out of a modern-day psychology book or something. That is, there's a big emphasis on the book between the connection of the mind with the body, and that how we feel in our body can greatly affect the mind. How we feel in our mind can greatly affect the body. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bone. Long before modern medicine and psychology, Proverbs taught that emotional well-being was connected to physical health, as we see from those verses there. Now, I know that those who suffer with this kind of mental illness, those who struggle with anxiety and depression, they struggle or can't even put into words how they feel when they go through those times of darkness, of depression. Spurgeon wrote a lot about times of anxiety and depression, but in that sense it's extremely rare for someone to do that. Most are unable to write. Most are unable to say how they feel during those times. But in that sense, let Scripture speak for you. If that's you this morning, let Scripture speak for you. Some of you know Proverbs 14:13 to be your experience. Proverbs 14:13 says, "Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and rejoicing may end in grief." That, in a sense, you know that to be your experience. You know what it's like to be in a room full of people, but still feel lonely. You may be at the height of pleasure, but still never fully removed from pain. That even happy occasions are like tinged with sadness. that some wounds never really heal. Maybe that's your experience. But just on a side note there, but if I can say, remember Jesus did a lot of weeping himself. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Not because there was anything wrong with him, he was perfect. But because his loving heart was just affected by the sadness and the pain that he saw around him. So it's not a huge surprise that we're going to be affected in the same way. And Proverbs does go on and give advice on this area of, and it gives wisdom on this area of illness in the mind. And I'm aware that what I'm saying here, I'm not expecting everyone to leave this morning and be cured of anxiety and depression. This is advice. This isn't perhaps a cure. But how can we help those then with anxiety, with depression? And how can Proverbs help us? Well, we mentioned previously Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. The Hebrew word translated there as anxiety, it can mean this emotional distress, this emotional trauma caused when something vital to your life is threatened. It can also mean anxiety can arise because of uncertainty about the future. And the commentaries on this seem to suggest that when something vital to your life is threatened, persistent anxiety leads to depression. And this proverb says that we can do something to help those whose heart is weighed down with anxiety. It says the heart weighed down with anxiety, a kind word cheers it up. And this, in a sense, is completely consistent with what we've been reading in Proverbs, the general teaching of Proverbs about the power of our words, the impact of our speech on other people. Proverbs would never understand the saying of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words do hurt. Words can destroy. But the flip side of that, words can also help heal. Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. Pleasant words are like honey. It's meant to allude to something that's sweet tasting, but can also even be used like medicine. It can have those healing effects in that sense. And I think this is really important today. If our words can have the effect like medicine, sweet like honey, health to the bones, that means we really do need to fight against this current culture we have of jokes, of bad humour, and of banter. Proverbs 15:4 says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life. Our words can bring health to the bones, can cheer the spirit. But at the flip side of that, a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Is it any surprise that in these days of coarse joking, bad humour, of banter, is it any surprise that mental health issues are higher now than ever before? Good and kind words are beneficial to a person's emotional and psychological well-being, but Proverbs goes even further on to say that good and kind words are beneficial to a person's physical well-being as well. It brings healing to the bones. So Proverbs 12:25, 16:24, 15:30, they all suggest a remedy to depression, to anxiety, is encouraging words. Of course, I'm not blind to say that anxiety will never be eliminated in this life, we'll continue to struggle. And of course, we should look to Christ and Christ alone for the ultimate hope, for the ultimate remedy. Philippians chapter 4 tells us to present our anxieties to him. But also, these proverbs give us extremely practical advice that we should not try and deal with our anxieties on our own, in our own strength. Often the natural tendency to anxiety and depression is just to draw back, to shut down. But actually Proverbs is telling us to go out and open up. To open up to people in our fellowship, open up to wise and godly believers. We need a kind word from others, this is telling us. Of course we need people as well to tell us our faults, to correct us when we're wrong, to make us more Christ-like for our sanctification. But we also need people to affirm us, to relate their own experience to us, to point us to Christ, or perhaps just to sit with us in quiet so we don't feel alone. In a sense, the best things Job's comforters did for him was to just sit down and be quiet. Sometimes we need that. And just linked to this, perhaps after the service, when we're having time of fellowship with each other, and we ask each other, how are you doing? Answer honestly. Don't just say, oh, I'm fine, thank you very much, how are you? If that's true, then yeah, say it. But be honest. We must remember that the church needs to be a place where it's okay not to be okay. Not everything needs to be perfect all the time. But we point to the one who is and can help. So these proverbs do give us very, very practical ways, practical advice on how we can help others and be there for others. But what happens if you're struggling today? With life the way it is, there will come a time when all of us are going to struggle. So what can we do then with mental health or with physical health? Does Proverbs have anything for us if we're struggling mentally or physically? That's our third and final point, reasons to be cheerful. And again, Paul Mallard's book here was immensely helpful with this. We may think, well, I'm ill. What have I got to be cheerful about? At this moment in time, I'm in that darkness of depression. Why should I be joyful? Well, God's word teaches us that actually even the most fierce trials, even in the most fierce circumstances, in that sense, we can have tears in our eyes, but joy in our hearts. But in this day and age, it's almost just watching TV, just reading social media and things like that. It's always so much easier to say something negative than to say something positive, isn't it? In a sense, we live in this day and age of negativity. Social media is always filled with negative comments. And in that sense, we can take the same negative thinking into our own lives. And that, again, as we suggest from Proverbs, that can have an effect on us emotionally and physically. And I'm not talking about any kind of self-help things here. You know, just say positive, you are enough for you sort of thinking. I'm not saying that. But often we do find it easier to complain about a few temporary troubles than to remember the amazing mountains of mercies we've received from God. We focus on the negative in that sense rather than the positive. And Spurgeon puts it like this. We write our blessings in the sands. We carve our complaints in marble. That in a sense we remember the blessings, very temporary, and it's just washed by the sea. Very temporary. But we remember the complaints for a long time. We often forget how good God has been to us. Another writer put it, we question God's goodness when a bridge falls, but we're not amazed at his grace that every bridge does not fall. Proverbs encourages us not to just look at the negative situations we're in, not just look at our negative circumstances, but to look at the blessings we have. We've already looked at Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. We have these reasons to be cheerful, to be joyful. Paul Mallard's book says, joy is very much an attitude of heart and a decision of faith. We can constantly grieve over what we've lost, or we can rejoice in what we have. My advice to you is choose joy. And it's advice here on choosing joy. Again, this isn't some kind of self-help sort of thing, but it's about looking outside ourselves for joy, looking outside ourselves to Christ and the gospel. It's about looking outside your circumstances to the rock solid, certain joys in Christ. On this, 1 Peter 1 verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. It's that joy that we're talking about, a joy in Christ. And again, you still might be thinking, how can I be cheerful in these circumstances, in this illness, in this anxiety? How can I be joyful when I've lost my health, when I've lost my peace of mind, when I've lost my loved one, when I've lost that relationship? And thinking about the things that we've lost, again, Paul Mallard writes, again, it's right to grieve over the things we have lost. But the secret of enduring joy is not to dwell on those things. Yes, grieve over what is lost, but dwell on what is left and can never be lost. And thinking about that thing of what can never be lost, our reading beforehand said in 2 Corinthians 4, Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So yes, this illness, this anxiety, this grief, this loss, it's hard. It is difficult. But it's also temporary. What is in Christ is eternal. And of course, trusting Christ doesn't mean that you will never have illness. Trusting Christ doesn't mean that you will never have depression. But trusting Christ does mean that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And as we finish now, as we think about having reasons to be joyful, these reasons to be joyful are not about closing our eyes to what's happening and just saying, oh, life's not so bad. In fact, it's opening our eyes and saying, actually, God is stronger than what I'm going through at the moment. And come what may, he is enough. We're not to close our eyes to the uncertainty and the illness that we see in the world around us. Rather, again, open our eyes to the even more rock-solid reality of a God who's not surprised by any of this, but is a help in times of trouble. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We'll face suffering, we'll face sickness and illness, and all of this reminds us that everything in the world changes. Our health, our good health in that sense, will never last that long. Everything in the world changes, and therefore we want to anchor our lives on something that never changes. And the gospel of Jesus is that anchor that we need. It is the only hope in a sick and suffering world. So we all want, we all need that firm place to stand, a place from where we can look at the uncertainties in life and face them head on. And if that is not Jesus, Jesus is not that firm place to stand. If that is not Jesus, what other hope, what other rock, what other refuge do you have this morning?